The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today
FM. Two guests to start to talk about what's happening for our farmers as a result of this extraordinary wet spell that we've had and which shows no sign of abating. Francie Gorman is president of the Irish Farmers Association. Francie, thank you for joining us. Tell us, compared to other years, how bad is it?
It's very serious now, Matt. We're heading into the 8th, 9th month of winter on most farms, following on from a very, very unfavourable 12-month period before that. And farmers are really at the end of their tether. They're fatigued, they're beleaguered. In some cases, there's a shortage of fodder on individual farms. And while we think that there's enough fodder in the country, short to medium term, the issue is trying to get that fodder from where it is to where it's needed. And then there's an issue on tillage farms as well, a huge issue. Probably no more than 30% of winter crops went in last autumn. A lot of those have failed, will have to be dished up and resowed. But the weather hasn't allowed farmers out onto land to do work of any sort since Christmas. And there's a fear that even in the tillage sector, some of those crops may not be sown this spring. A lot of those crops may not be sown this spring. And if you go to the fresh food and veg side, the likes of potatoes, carrots, there's very, very few crops in the ground. And there would be a fear that there will be a big shortage of Irish potatoes in our shops at the end of the year if this continues. So, like, we met as a group, a stakeholders group, last Friday, and we're meeting again in the morning, or next Tuesday morning, to see what can be done about getting fodder from where it is to where it's needed, and to sort out, you know, which it's a huge problem on farm at the moment, cash flow after a very, very expensive winter period.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I mean, how's this going to affect farm incomes?
Hugely, because normally a winter might last 4 to 5 months, and we've had a winter following on from a very, very unfavourable summer, where on the beef side of the house, stock came in poor condition than normally would. Finishing period was longer. Feed is very expensive. On the dairy side of the house, yields are back, solids are back. So all in all, when you take across the spectrum, the tillage side with no crops in, a huge fall back in production, a huge increase in costs, farm income is going to be very, very challenged for the next 12 months. And certainly at the moment, there is a cash flow problem on farm.
Can you ever remember it being this bad?
I can. If I go back to the 80s, I'm giving away my age now. I can remember 85, 86 been pretty bad years. And when I was a very small child, I can remember in the 70s a period like this as well. So, you know, whether it's cyclical or whatever, we have had issues like this before. But I think the cost involved at farm level now is so significant compared to those times. I think that's what's challenging farmers as much as, you know, as well, it's the weather challenging and increasing costs on farm, and I think that's the issue.
Stay on the line, Francie. I want to bring in Richard Hackett, who is an agricultural consultant. What do you think can farmers do, and what can industry do to help them?
Good evening, Matt. It's at farm level, it's a very difficult situation. And well, I suppose it's quite simple at the minute. There's nothing they can do on the tillage side or the fruit or the vegetable side or the potato side. There's just the weather is that bad, they can't go on land, and they're sitting down, they're sitting back planning and replanning and remaking plans that were made since last January, waiting on the weather to break. So at farm level, there's very little there's very difficult things they can do. Industry level, I suppose, it's at the end of the day, if there's no produce, there's very little produce to sell, there's very little produce to be marketed through the supermarkets, and they're going to feel the pain as well. So I think at an industry level, the industry is going to have to start working with the farmers and to try and start I suppose addressing the prices that they're getting and addressing the contracts that they're getting, and to try and walk them to see what is available that will be sold through, and be sold through quite well, and that if it's specifications has to be dropped to get produce through, that'll have to be done. So I suppose it's a matter if the person you're depending on to provide produce to is out of business, you've got a problem. And I think that's what the industry has a problem now, that if the farmers aren't making any money, industry then has a problem then sourcing the material.
But Richard, is it possible that we need to be changing some of the things that are grown in this country? I believe in particular you have a theory in relation to the potato crop.
Very definitely. I mean, we have on the potato end of it, we have a very, very successful variety. It was bred in Oak Park down in County Carlow by Harry Coe in the early 90s as a rooster. And that has dominated the market. And it's a very successful variety. If you go into a supermarket today, you will be offered various types of rooster. And it's a very effective variety. It has a lot of weaknesses. One of the main weaknesses is that it requires a very long growing season. It requires 160 days from planting to harvest, which is a 5.5 month time period. So if you plant your potatoes this week in the 8th or 9th of April, you will be harvesting them in the first week of October, which is perfect. If you delay that on to May planting, or even to late May planting, you're into early November harvest date. And so, you know, in an increasingly problematic environment that we're working in, we're having later starts and earlier finishes and droughts and wet periods in the middle, this 160 days is becoming extremely problematic. So I think
which sort of potatoes should the Irish farmers grow to take that into account?
I mean, there are loads. We have a breeding facility still down in Chagascon Oak Park. There's a number of breeding operations across Europe, and they breed varieties to meet very, very clear specifications. I mean, if you look at the processing side, for the crisp market, they grow 8 or 9 different varieties, all of which have their problems, all of which have their advantages. But all them potatoes were harvested because they generally speak in our earlier maturing varieties. So the varieties are there, and they can be manipulated, they can be bred, they can be managed, but they need to be. Well, the issue is that they're not being marketed. So if the supermarkets to date do not want a variety that's not rooster, because they can sell rooster, is readily identifiable, and it's people go to the shop, they see the rooster, and they know what they're getting. We need a marketing opportunity to market varieties that have a more seasonal approach, they can meet the vagaries of the seasons, because they'll be more variable. If you have different varieties, they mature at different times, and they will be suit different years. Some years they will suit, some years they wouldn't. But your offering is more stable.
Let me put that to Francie Gorman of the IFA. Do you have to do things like that, given that a lot of people say with global warming and climate change that these weather patterns are going to become what's going to happen each year, and that you may actually have to reduce or change your output to take that into account?
I think the point that Richard makes about the variety of potatoes, I take that on board. But in general, I don't think so. I think that we have a good climate here for producing generally food in. It's a very sustainable part of the world, part of the planet to produce food in. I think the bigger problem we have is that policy has driven margin at farm level. You've got to up in scale if you want to increase your margin at farm level over the last 20, 25 years. And we've now reached a tipping point where there's very, very little profit in a single unit of production, whether it's a litre of milk or a kilo of beef or a kilo of potatoes. And with the scale people are farming to today, if you don't have that profit built into what you're producing, you're in danger of getting into financial difficulty very, very quickly. And I think that's where we sit farm-wise at the moment. It's a lack of profit in the system in general. And look, we have a crisis at the moment that may be short-lived. If the weather turns very, very quickly, it would make an awful lot of difference. But what we need in the short term, we need, and it has been done in the main, we've seen a suspension of inspections at farm level to take pressure off the workload that may appear in individual farms. We want to see payments fast-tracked through the Department of Agriculture that any payments that are owed to farmers, that they will be got out as quickly as possible. They already have delivered a certain amount of, in terms of an environmental payment, an upfront payment in the last month or 6 weeks. We need, as Richard said, we need processors, milk and beef processors, to pay farmers more out of the marketplace for what they're producing. And I believe that there will be the possibility of looking at a movement subsidy for fodder from parts of the country where there is fodder to parts of the country where
it's needed. But Francie, I suppose the bigger point is, what if, I know you can go back and say that there was bad weather in the 1970s and 1980s, but a lot of climate experts are saying that changes that are taking place are permanent. And whatever about the climate that we've been used to having for generations in this country, if that's changing, does that not suggest that maybe we have to change change our agricultural output. And we also have to take into account our inputs, that they themselves may have been contributing to the carbon emissions which is causing this weather.
Well, there's one thing for sure, Matt. Farming is not the cause of climate change, and we can get into an argument about climate change and still be on air at 7 o'clock. The reality is that there's 2 billion more people been fed on the planet now, I think with a billion and a half hectares less of land being used. We have 800 million people going to bed every night hungry. That figure was 2 billion if you go back a number of decades ago. So I don't believe for a second that farming is a problem with climate change. I'm not saying we're not having climate change, and that does mean that we have to look at how we adapt to climate change if we're going to stay farming. There's no question about that. The importance of making enough fodder on farm, in general, how we go about doing our business, maybe shorter growing varieties even in the grain side of the house. Peak growing season for the grain sector is almost gone at this stage. So if you're putting in crops, you can't maximise the potential of them. So work can be done on that side of it. Of course we should adopt it, and it's something that does need to be looked at. But in general, we need to be looking at the next week, fortnight, 3 weeks to see how we can get out the gap in this. And if weather turned in our favour and spring weather came as we normally would expect at this time of the year, a lot of the problem we're talking about now, the short-term
okay.
problem, but making sure we have we can keep our livestock fed wherever it is around the country, that problem will be abated, because
okay.
there is an awful lot of fodder on land, Matt. Grass is very, very plentiful, but the problem is farmers have had stock indoors for 8 months, and we can't get cattle out to grass and cows out to grass to access that feed.
Okay, we will come back at a later date to the issue of the longer term potential for maybe needing change, because I'm sure that there will be people who would take issue with the idea that agriculture is not contributing to the global warming and the climate change which results from that. So we will come back and do that again at a later date. For now, Francie Gorman, I hope all your members are able to deal with this incredibly bad weather over the next couple of weeks.
And Matt, I would make...
Very briefly, please, Francie.
Even in our own association, if there is anybody in butter, a short of fodder or need help, if they get in touch with our local branches, we have branches in nearly every parish in the country, our county executive level, whatever we can do to match people up at fodder in our own association, with the help of Chagas okay. and the department next week, from here on, we're available to do that.
Thank you, Francie Gorman, and thank you as well, Richard Hackett. We'll be back to you again at a subsequent date.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.